Good afternoon, good morning, wherever you guys are. My name is David Encarnacion. I represent Daycare Accounting Pro. We're a boutique accounting firm specializing in servicing the child care industry. We've been doing this for a little over a decade now, with the emphasis of helping small business owners, specifically child care businesses, go through a transformation of growing their business. So if you're at a stage where you are an in-home, it is our purpose to help you to get to a center. And if you already have a center, it's our goal to get you into multiple locations. Once again, my name is David Encarnacion. I'm an EA, and I'm also the president of this company. I'm not going to talk a lot about myself today because there are some strategies that I want to show you that you can incorporate into your business right now. Now, because of the time, this is actually an ebook that we converted into slides. We will make these available to you within the next 24, 48 hours so that you can read it over. But in the meantime, I'm going to go over four strategies. There are seven here, but I'm going to go over the four that I think are critical at this moment. So the title of this webinar is Profit or Loss from Your Business. It's like an introductory guide on how to reduce your taxes, which I'm sure everyone is interested in. So I'm gonna go over all the strategies. This is not one that I'm gonna focus on. I'm just gonna read it off, but we'll follow up with information on the others. Strategy number one, how to get healthcare costs for your entire family deducted by hiring your spouse by using Form 105, which is a health reimbursement arrangement. It's a little bit tricky, but if you're a Schedule C filer, if you're a sole proprietor on your 1040 on the Schedule C, it will go on this line item here, line 14 of the Schedule C. He's going to tell you how it works. We have an example here. I'm not going to talk too much about that, but it shows you how you can basically pay for medical coverage from your business, have it deducted 100%, and at the same time, offer coverage to your entire family. Second strategy, we're gonna start with this one. We have conversations constantly with daycare providers throughout the course of our day. And one of the strategies that many are not implementing is a simple one. And it's hiring your kids to work in your LLC or sole proprietor and put that money back into your pocket. Now, how do we do that? Very simple. On the Schedule C, on line 29, this is that strategy we go. So if you operate currently a qualifying LLC. And by the way, if you have any questions as I'm going along, just pop it in the chat or the Q&A and we'll address it at the end. But if you operate a qualifying LLC or sole proprietor, you can get a break on taxes by just hiring your family members. So if you hire children under the age of 21, you don't pay unemployment taxes. If you hire anyone under 18, you don't pay any payroll taxes. So that's FICA, Social Security, and unemployment. Now, spouses and parents who do not pay unemployment taxes, their wages are subject to FICA and Medicare taxes. So I'll give you an example. Let's say you're operating an LLC as a sole proprietor, and you hire your 12-year-old daughter to work for you in your office. You pay her $8,000 annual salary. You're able to deduct the $8,000 that you paid as a business expense. And you and her pay nothing in payroll taxes because she's under 18. So not only do you get to pay yourself, you're able to deduct 100% of it. Now, this is a tricky strategy because we usually recommend that you hire children above 10 years old. However, if you have an infant and you have a website, if you're not a pose to taking a picture of your infant, 6 months old, and placing it on your website, then you could take advantage of this strategy because you're using that child as talent on your website, and therefore you're able to pay them. So I'm going to take it a little step further. This is what I do with my own children. I hired my children. I paid them enough under the household exemption or single filer exemption where I was still able to claim them and they were able to be employed and pay zero taxes. So from that employment, I opened a Roth IRA. Roth IRA. And if I paid them $6,000, I will deposit that $6,000 into their Roth. Now, there's a lot of big talk on the social media about creating generational wealth. And that's a prime way to do it. So if you can imagine depositing $6,000 into a one-year-old's account for the next 18 years, within 40 years, you have a couple of million dollars just in that account. Now, what's so attractive about a Roth IRA is that that account can grow to $10 million. You could pull out $10 million from that account and pay zero tax. I'm going to repeat that. You open a Roth IRA for your infant son or daughter who's currently working as talent for you. And if you invest $6,000, you take their wages and you deposit into the Roth every year, $6,000. An example, the account goes to $3 million. At the age of 30, they want to pull $3 million out. They can pull 100% of those funds and pay zero tax. So there are different levels to the strategy that we can use. The second strategy that I want to discuss is how to reduce self-employment taxes by renting from your spouse. Now, note, these strategies that I'm sharing with you are outside the box strategies. They're seldom used, but the IRS has given us a roadmap where we can use these types of tax, quote unquote, loopholes. I always tell my clients, there are two types of rules. The IRS has two rules. One rule is for the informed. The second rule is for the uninformed. The more you know, the less tax you pay. Everyone talks about how these large corporations are making billions of dollars and they're paying zero tax. They're looking at the tax code. Obviously, they have 500 attorneys going through the tax code and pulling out the nuggets that they need. But for small business owners, there are also strategies that you can use, and this is one of them. So how do you reduce your self-employment tax? By renting from your spouse. Now, if you were to do it on the Schedule C, this would be the line item, 20B. So if you own a building or an asset, you have a rental agreement with your spouse, that could significantly lower your self-employment tax. Because now it's taking the income from the Schedule C and onto the Schedule E, which is rental income. Now, by reducing your self-employment tax, you also reduce your taxes. Now, this strategy, I suggest you seek additional counsel. Because if you're making over $150,000 and you're filing a joint tax return, and you're looking to claim the losses from the Schedule E, you may not qualify. Now, just because you don't qualify doesn't mean that you lose it. So I suggest that if you need further information on that, that you seek counsel on that. But if you operate a sole proprietor and you earn $100,000 of net income, self-employment tax is 15.3%. So on the profit, you're going to pay a self-employment tax liability of a little bit over $14,000. Now, how can this strategy help? So let's say you have an office or a home and you rent from your spouse. You pay your spouse $2,000 each month, which is, let's say, the rental value of the space that you're using. That's $24,000 in a year. So that $24,000 in a year becomes a deduction on your Schedule C, which means that $24,000 does not pay self-employment tax. However, because you paid your spouse $24,000, now your spouse has additional income to claim. But that $24,000 doesn't pay self-employment tax. All it pays is income tax. So this is a strategy on how to shift the funds from one business into another. So you're moving the income from Schedule C or the expense onto the Schedule E where you don't have to pay self-employment tax. Now, this is a little tricky. So depending on who owns the property is also critical. So if you own 50% of the property, you can take advantage of this. If you own 100% of the property, or your spouse owns 100% of the property, you can also take advantage of this. So if you own 50-50, your spouse is able to take 50% of those expenses on your Schedule E. That might be a little confusing if you haven't filed the Schedule E before, but what you're doing is you're basically renting out space in your home. That space generated an income of $24,000 a year. If you're a 50% owner, because you're 50% owner, now you can deduct 50% of your real estate taxes, 50% of your mortgage interest, 50% of any repairs, and even in some cases, utilities, and any HOA fees, water, sewer, Con Ed, electrical, and even at some point, maybe telephone. But that situation is so critical that in the past, if you were able to itemize, and now in 2022 or 23, you're not itemizing, this strategy will lower your taxes because now you're putting all of that, all the deductions that you missed that you couldn't take on the Schedule A, you're able to take on the Schedule E. Now, if you're in a community property state, which Arizona, California, Idaho, Louisiana, Nevada, New Mexico, Texas, Washington, Wisconsin, those are a little tricky as well. So if you and your spouse own 50% of the building or the property, regardless of whose name is on the title, 50% of that, whether you're on the title or not, you're responsible for, or it's attributed to you. So if you live in these community states, make sure you take the proper steps so that you give your spouse 100% of the asset. And that's usually very simple in the form of what is called a quick claim deed. Now, you always, when you take these strategies into consideration, it has to be done for a business purpose. Not necessarily to avoid paying tax, but for a business purpose. So if it's a limited liability, that's a prime example. You're trying to limit the liability of the business and you're separating it from the home. So that's a critical strategy for that. Now, there are a couple of things that you have to have. You have to have a lease agreement, which I'm sure anyone can write up between yourself and the landlord, which in this case is your spouse. Find a fair rental value of the property and try to stick to at least no more than 10% over the fair market value. So if the fair market value of the property is 2,000, try not to go above 2,200. Make sure you have a rental lease. Make sure you make the actual payments to your spouse, because if you ever get to an audit, they're going to audit your personal tax returns as well as your spouse. So they want to see that the income that went into the business, the daycare business, went out in the form of a check of $2,000 and went into your spouse's account. When your spouse will deposit that into a separate account specifically for the rental property. And from that account, now the spouse can make payments to the mortgage, to the real estate taxes, to any repairs. Because remember, those expenses you will be taking on your Schedule C. I'm sorry, on your Schedule E. Your spouse, since they're receiving the income, they will be deducting all the expenses of the property. At the end of the year, the business owner, the daycare owner, should give a 1099 miscellaneous for rent paid during the year to the spouse. The spouse will then turn around and put that on their tax return as income. I want to talk about the home office tax deduction. That goes here on line 30 of the Schedule C. Line 30 on the Schedule C. Now, the home office deduction allows you to convert a portion of your non-deductible personal expenses, utilities, insurance, and these deductible expenses allow you to depreciate a portion of your home as a business property. If you're having another office outside the home, that does not preclude you from claiming the home. In fact, the home office is the principal residence. I will give you a personal example. My corporation, its main address is at my home, where I conduct administrative duties. I go to the office. The office is 5 miles away. Anytime I drive from my home to the office is deductible. Typically, it's not. For a W-2 employee, it's not. So when you leave your home and you go to the office, that's not deductible. But since the business administrative work is being done at home, I can deduct expenses from the space that I use at home, and I can deduct any mileage from my home / home office to the daycare center, to the in-home daycare where you may have a different apartment or a different home. So those deductions you're able to take, and you're able to claim both. So this is an example here. Jackie Smith works 50 hours a week at her daycare located uptown. She also spends 12 hours a week working at home doing all administrative tasks required for her daycare business. Question, can Jackie claim tax deductions for any of these offices? The answer is yes. She could claim the deduction for both. And generally, I see other accounts only taking the deductions for one. And that you will find, and you will be able to claim on line 30 of the Schedule C. The last one that I want to discuss, seven. Okay, let's do five. So I'm going to include this. They're included in the ebook. I'm just going to read them over so that it can generate some interest. And when you get the ebook, you can go into it and have explanations and even cite specific laws so that you can double check to make sure it's correct. So you can turn your vacation into a tax deductible business travel. I'm sure that's music to a lot of your ears. So you can actually go on vacation and turn it into deductible business travel. I do that all the time. And one way to do that is if you ever go on vacation, you take a weekend vacation and you travel Friday, you come back Sunday, make it your business to come back on Monday. Why? Because when you travel, Saturday and Sunday is not considered business, and you can't deduct it. But the fact that you came back on Monday and you conducted business on Monday, business talk, you were able to deduct the whole weekend, all 4 days. That's critical. The strategy you'll find on line 24A of the Schedule C. Now, I'll give you an example. Let's consider you purchase you're going on a business trip or vacation, and you want to convert it into a vacation. You go to Florida, going to Orlando, Disney World. You consider purchasing $1,200 business class tickets. Your parents or your brother, your cousin live in Florida next to Orlando Winter Park. With that trip, if you discuss days on, if you discuss business on, depending on the number of days, if you discuss the business on a percentage of certain days, because it's a combination of business and personal, you're able to take the entire vacation and get a deduction on the full amount. So is it a vacation or is it business? So what I do is, if I were to travel to Florida, I have clients in Florida. I'm going on vacation. I'm going to see Mickey Mouse. I make sure that while I'm in Florida, I place calls to clients in Florida to just say hello. How's everything going? How's business? Is there anything else I can do for you? When should we schedule another call? I conducted business. The fact that I conducted business while in Florida, I'm able to take 100% of quote unquote my vacation and deduct 100% of it. So there are different scenarios that work for that. You can use it for airfare, which includes first class tickets, presidential suites at your favorite hotel, rental car expenses for those who want a Rolls Royce, or in my case, a Porsche, any boat rides, anything that you expense during your vacation, but for work purposes, can be deducted. So according to the tax code, you can deduct travel expenses in your trip as an ordinary and necessary cost of doing business. Now, the courts have interpreted this rule extremely broadly, and as a result of this broad interpretation, the tax code sometimes isn't very helpful. It's very vague. But that vagueness we can use to our advantage. Once again, make sure you get counsel on this. So here you have the different facts, tests. So some of the reasons that you will need to, if you ever audit it, you need a profit motive. You need a reason why the trip was made to make money. So when I went to Florida, I went and I spoke to my clients because I obviously wanted to keep them on board, service them, and servicing is a way of profit motive. Staying overnight, I have to stay overnight. So I have to take the business, I have to take the business deduction. There's several tests that they're fairly simple to keep. The one that we have to keep close eye is maintaining good records. So I was at a conference over last week. And I take information, I take my registration card, and I drop it into my receipt bucket for 2023. Because that's proof that I registered for the conference and I was there. Now, the fact that I also used it for personal reasons, it's neither here nor there. I'm allowed to do that. And I'm allowed to deduct the full amount of the trip because I had to travel to St. Louis for 4 or 5 days because the conference was that was 4 or 5 days. But I also conducted, I also had fun. I had personal time. So it's, you have to know how to play the game. Again, there's a rule for the people that don't, that do know, and the people that don't. So always maintain good records. I'm going to talk about this one. This is how to travel to exotic locations using the 7-day rule. And by exotic locations, I mean international. I spoke to someone earlier today that they went, they're about to go. Well, I spoke to someone 2 days ago. They're going on a trip. I spoke to someone today that just went on a trip. And this is critical because you're able to deduct those expenses. And that will be done on line 24A. And here's the exceptions to the rule and the IRS regulations. So it's critical the amount of days and what you do during those days. So for anyone that's questioning this, under Section 274C-1, you can travel outside the United States, away from your home, in pursuit of your business. You may deduct only the expenses allowable to the pursuit of the business. So we had a client that she went to see a coaching session in the Bahamas. And because she was on the course of pursuit of business, she was able to deduct 100% of her international business trip. Now, I have never, ever met someone that goes on an international trip to a tropical island and doesn't enjoy themselves. So it's not always work. I'm sure there's more play than work. And I'm sure you guys would agree with me. Okay, let's talk about this one. This is the last strategy I'm going to discuss, is how to create a tax-free fringe benefit deduction for your smartphone. Remember, these strategies are outside the box. This will go on line 14 on the Schedule C. So here, when a sole proprietor provides an employee, spouse, child, independent contractor with a smartphone or a tablet, iPad, primarily for non-compensatory reasons, it is considered a working condition fringe benefit that is excludable from income. So if you provide your employee, your spouse, and your spouse or your child is working for you, you give them an iPad, that's not for employment. That the fact that you gave them that $1,000 quote unquote equipment does not mean that they claim that as income. The business can reimburse the employee for the full cost of the phone expenses, including personal use, and deduct the full amount. The reimbursement that you're giving to the employee is 100% tax-free. Example, my son works with me as an incentive, not an incentive, I'm going to use that word. As a fringe benefit, I give him a cell phone. I'm giving him a cell phone that's $1,000 plus the $100 a month monthly bill. So for the first month, I gave him $1,100. And for the next 12 months, $100 a month. That's $2,300. That $2,300 that I gave him is not considered income to the employee. But at the same time, I'm able to deduct that 100% on my tax returns. Now, who's an employee? The definition of an employee for working condition fringe benefit purposes is a lot broader than what we think. So what's an employee? Including yourself, anyone that works for the corporation or the business. Partners in the business performing services for the partnership. Directors, independent contractors. That's worked specifically for you. Now, how does the tax break work? When you provide an employee or partner with a smartphone, or any type of iPad, tablet, for business reasons, the following things happen. The employee or partner's business use is a working condition of the fringe benefit and is excludable from income, which means you're giving that person the iPad because it's a working condition and it's a fringe benefit to that employee and is not included as additional income to that employee. The same, the employee or partner's personal use is also excludable from income. But it doesn't matter whether they have to use it for business, but if they're using it for personal reasons as well, it doesn't matter. It's still 100% excludable. The employee does not have to keep records of business use. I'm going to repeat that. The employee does not have to keep records of business use. So I gave an iPad to my son who works with me. He's supposed to use that for business, but he doesn't. And because he doesn't, I'm still claiming the deduction, but he doesn't have to provide proof that he's using that piece of equipment for business use. Now, there's certain tax code, non-discriminatory requirements, but they basically don't apply. So you don't necessarily, it doesn't mean that you can pick and choose basically who you want to give this to. So in my case, I have a wife, 4 children. All 6 are on my account. We have 6 phones on my account, plus iPads. Those 6 accounts are under the business account. Everyone is an employee, so I'm able to give that equipment to each one, and I'm able to take 100% deduction on the equipment and on the monthly cost. Once again, there's a rule for the people that know and a rule for the people that don't know. There are a couple of things here that you have to speak to regarding employee-related emergencies, requirements. You require the employee to keep the phone so that you can communicate with them. And I'm sure everyone on this webinar will fit this criteria. So these strategies that I just discussed are just a few that you can incorporate into your business right now. I know a lot of people on social media are talking about different strategies, but they're not talking about outside the box strategies that you can use right now into your business. So I'm sure there's some people probably on this webinar or someone that you may know that can benefit from renting the house or apartment from their spouse. There's someone that may not have insurance and they can use the business to pay for the insurance and have that insurance 100% tax deductible. So an example, if you have Jane is with Joe, they don't have insurance. Joe becomes an employee. Jane, the wife, the owner of the daycare, pays for the insurance for Joe. Joe turns around and gets family coverage. So now, not only is Joe covered, Jane is covered, but all 4 kids. And the business pays for it, and the business gets 100% deduction. So all these strategies we'll put out to you guys in the form of an ebook so that you can review and you can share with whomever you please. If you need additional information from us, Sari, can you put the appointment link? Sari's going to put an appointment link where you can schedule an appointment with us. The consultations are totally free. And we try to get a feel of exactly where you are and how we can transform your business and going from an in-home or center to multiple locations. The reason that we providing these strategies is we have found that over the past 6 months, I've done so many calls, and the constant amongst those calls is lack of counsel, lack of advice. So we have made a shift within our business where now we're focusing more on advisory work, where we're advising clients on what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. I had a client last year that, thank God, he was coachable. He was going to pay $58,000 in tax. And when I asked him, did you open the SEP, S-E-P-I-R-A? He said, yes. I said, very good. Let's pay yourself. We at Daycare Accounting Pro believe in paying yourself. So instead of paying $58,000 in tax, let's pay $40 in tax, take $20, take the difference, put it into a SEP IRA, and add a little bit more, make it a total of $61,000, and you get the deduction. So because that client put $61,000 into his SEP IRA for his retirement, which is an exceptional number, considering that a traditional IRA, you can only put up to $6,500. He was able to put 10 times that amount. So if he were to do that for the next 10 years at compounded interest, he'll be over $1 million on money that he saved that he paid very little tax on. So instead of paying tax, pay yourself. That's the takeaway from this. So if you have any questions, You can call us. Our number is 718-515-2532. You can email us. And this webinar was brought in collaboration with iCare. And just so you know, if you're not familiar with iCare, they basically do accounting, billing, and payments. So their accounting systems are similar to ledgers. So it looks similar like your bank statements. So all the debits and credits are handled through there. They also handle billing. So we all know how critical billing is in our business. If you miss some bills, it can mean a loss for that month or a profit. In either case, if you bill your client too much, they will tell you. If you bill them too little, I doubt they will mention it. They also handle payments. So to eliminate late payments and bad payments, they have a solution that automates the payments and it goes direct deposit into your account. So if you need additional information, just reach out to them and I'm sure they'll be able to help you.
Dave.
Okay, so we'll start taking questions now.
Yeah, Dave, I want to thank the audience as well. There's several questions that came through. And the first question was when you discussed tax breaks for family members, strategy two, are those benefits the same for C Corps?
No.
No?
They're not. This is two. Strategy two? To hire your kids?
Tax breaks for family members. On that slide. I think it was that one.
Which one? Can you just clarify on that?
Yeah, I just wrote down tax breaks for family members. That was the name of the slide.
Okay, maybe she can, or whoever it is, make a sense.
Were you talking about the cell phone? The cell phone.
What's the question on the cell phone?
Are those benefits the same for C Corps? Is that the same? Does that apply for C Corp?
The cell phones? Yes.
Yes. Okay. All right. The other question is, Ken, when you spoke about renting from family, from a spouse, can an S Corp rent from your LLC that holds the deed of the asset?
Yes, absolutely. As a matter of fact, I spoke to someone today and they have an LLC and the LLC is the owner of the building and the land. And they have a daycare in the building and the daycare is renting from the LLC that owns the property, the building and the land. So absolutely.
All right, and this message is coming from Camille. And it's a question regarding Daycare Accounting Pro. Do you have a team that can track my bookkeeping as well? We currently use QB QuickBooks.
Yes, we're a full service. So we do account, we do bookkeeping, taxes, and payroll, and advisory. So we do those full services. We have bundle packages to include all. We have bundle packages to include some, but this is more of a one-on-one conversation because every business is different. So it's like our DNA. What applies to you may not apply to another person. So we like to find out exactly what you are, what your goals are, where you're looking to go. And based on that, we're able to structure a plan to take you there based on what we offer and how we can get you there. Now, there's something I should mention with daycare industry. 75% of the childcare business owners, at least that I speak with and that my team speaks with, all have entity issues. By that I mean they created an LLC. So I have this pet peeve about these social media talking about created LLC, it's easy. Yes, it is. And it's a great. But the thing is that these social media influencers do not talk about the tax consequence of an LLC. And if it's not done properly, when you sit across my desk and we're preparing a tax return and I hit you with, you owe the IRS $10,000 and you fall back on your seat. You say, why? Because you created this LLC and you didn't choose the proper tax structure. So it's critical. Now, the good thing is that we made that mistake in the past. There's a solution for it. But for that solution, we have to talk to find out if that solution is the best one for you. Nine times out of 10, it is.
Okay. All right. So this question is coming from Jason. You spoke about strategies 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Do all these strategies work for an S corp?
No. No. Now, I'm sorry. What was his name?
Jason.
Jason. On the email that we're going to send you, you will find two ebooks. There will be one ebook there specifically for S corps, and I believe they also have 7 strategies specifically for S corps. In the same format with an explanation, an example, and the tax law.
Excellent. One more question. This question is coming from Camille. Can you do a SEP if you offer a 401k through your company?
Yes, because the SEP is for the business owner. The SEP is for the business owner. So if you chose not to do the 401k, you can absolutely do it to the SEP. However, I would only recommend that depending on the net income. So if your net income is $100,000, you can put up to $61,000 or 25% of the net income, whichever is less, into a SEP. So if your net income is $100,000, the maximum you could do is $25,000. So does it really make sense there? Because if you have a 401k and you're able to maximize your 401k, and depending on what type of W-2 you're taking, that reduces your taxable income. So again, we need further discussion to find out exactly where you are and what will be the best scenario for you. It may be and it may not, depending on the net income that you have. So if you have 300,000 net income, absolutely, we're going into the SEP, because there we can maximize either 61,000 or 25%. 25% is too much. 25% would be 75,000. So the lesser would be 61,000. And you could put $61,000 opposed to the max 21,000 in a 401k into a SEP. So you're putting in three times as much into a SEP, which I'm sure everyone will prefer that. If there are no other questions, we thank you. On behalf of myself and iCare, we appreciate your time. And as always, stay informed. Goodbye, everyone.